Friday Review
with Jacinta Parsons and Brian Nankervis
on ABC Radio Melbourne.
Oh, it's 10 minutes past 3 o'clock. And Brian, you've been quite plucky when it comes to your Chagall insights that you received last night in the dead of night.
Absolutely.
You went through a lot of information, but how much was retained, I wonder?
Well, I hope a reasonable amount.
We're actually about to be joined by, I would say, an expert, a curator of Chagall, happening at the Jewish Museum of Australia until December. You'll find that museum at 26 Alma Road in St Kilda. Welcome, Jade Nicolai.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
Jade, tell us, I mean, tell everyone about this incredible artist, Chagall. We'll get on to the exhibition, but who was he, what's his importance, and why should we be excited?
So Marc Chagall had the great privilege to live to be 97, and his life coincided with massive events of the 20th century. Mm. So he was born in a shtetl, which is a very tight-knit Orthodox Jewish community in Eastern Europe, in a tiny town called Vitebsk, which today would be Belarus, at a time when it was being Jewish was to be a second-class citizen. So actually he had no official papers, he didn't exist, what something we might call today an illegal refugee status, let's say. And he moved around from the age of 13 and then went to St. Petersburg, moved to Paris, lived through, obviously, the pogroms. He lived through the terrors of World War One, the Russian Revolution, World War Two, obviously the Holocaust, and then he came back. And, I mean, his life just marked so many huge events of the 20th century. And his art followed, and his art changed and pivoted through all those major events.
But also not just art. I mean, he was a painter, he was a book illustrator, he was a ceramicist, set designer, tapestry maker and stained glass window maker. He escaped Europe the day that Germany invaded Russia. He went to New York. He had this incredible life there. And I know that Bill Wyman, the bass player of the Rolling Stones, is a Chagall collector, which I think might have been the reason that I sort of got a little bit excited. But, yeah, a remarkable artist. And tell us about the exhibition.
So the exhibition actually is the second Chagall exhibition at the Jewish Museum. The first one took place in 1995 by the extraordinary inaugural director of the museum called Dr. Helen Light. And she there exhibited his Bible series, which are a very important body of work that he worked on for over 25 years, looking at the Old Testament and really reinventing the iconography through his modernist language and his unique style. So we took the opportunity this time to concentrate on his broader practice, to provide a broader narrative and to extend the conversation to three other idioms in his art, and they are printmaking, which you just mentioned. He really pioneered bookmaking and taking the artist book as a creative discipline in its own right. Poetry, which indeed he wrote first in Yiddish, then in French, but also collaborated in poetry. And he very much worked with a number of poets, including a beautiful piece of work we're exhibiting here, a surrealist poet called Paul Éluard, and it's a publication they did together in 1946. That's actually part of the State Library of Victoria's permanent collection. So we've had this great opportunity to work with the SLV team, pull out works, and as an extension of that, also team with the Alliance Française in Melbourne to bring the poems alive. So through we've recorded quite a few of the poems, so when you come to the exhibition, it's very much an immersive experience, and also through the public programming, which will take place over the next 6 months. And then the third part of our exhibition, which is certainly my personal favourite and my sort of expertise and contribution, is looking at public art, because it's something that we talk about a lot in a contemporary context here and overseas, but I don't think most people understand exactly how prolific he was. And the stained glass windows you mentioned before come in as part of that remit. And it's really something he did after World War II. He moved away from a kind of very subjective type of art, which were drawings and paintings, to much larger scale works, and like many other interesting conundrums in his practice and in the practice of many artists who live to be so old, it actually coincided. He became more secular, but his art practice became more spiritual, bordering on religious.
And he was really loved, wasn't he? One of the docos that I saw, there was Picasso singing his praises. There was Matisse singing his praises. He was called the painter of love. He was called a poet with the wings of a painter. And when you look at some of the later works particularly, they are almost absurdist in a way. You've got people, parachutists coming down. You've got the Eiffel Tower floating. He was really, in a way, but he didn't want to be, from what I could gather, he didn't want to be pigeonholed as a cubist or a surrealist. He wanted to sort of move beyond all those pigeonholes.
I think that's absolutely right. He was certainly influenced and inspired by many of his peers, but unlike them, he always remained a humanist, and the human experience and the human body actually stayed in his practice almost always. He went through a big phase of painting nature and flowers, but other than that, he really was always came back to the human experience and the body. And before you mentioned the theatre and stage set design, which was a huge part of his sort of narrative, we actually took the opportunity to work with one of the best designers in Australia called Anna Tregolin, who's done a sensational exhibition design for us. And you might know Anna's work from the previous JMA exhibitions on Helmut Newton and Murakamura. Mm. And so the actual experience of coming to the exhibition is more than just looking at his paper-based works and looking at the poetry and looking at public art, but really immersing in that world of the theatre and performance. And we've also commissioned a fantastic soundscape from a wonderful sound artist at Brand Music in Melbourne.
Wow, punching above your weight there, just doing an enormous amount of, exposition of his work. It's incredible to think that this artist of 97 years before he died, what an incredible opportunity as a human to see someone's work evolve and change and go through that artist exploration.
It is, and I think that's probably one of his greatest assets as an artist, that he knew when to pivot and when to move on. Obviously, he lived through World War II and the Holocaust, and he did exile with his extraordinary first wife, Bella, who was his muse and manager for the first 30 years of their life.
And then I read this great story where his daughter was worried about him after he lost Bella, and so she organised a housekeeper, a young artist perhaps, to live there. And then, of course, they fell in love.
Well, that happened twice, actually. So Bella dies in 1944 under quite tragic circumstances, because really maybe she didn't, wouldn't have needed to happen. But anyway, clearly he mourns and his life is very much lost. They had a daughter called Ida, who was very much, they were a trio, I would say. And Ida does worry about Dad and organises a housekeeper who is a British French artist called Virginia, and next thing you know, of course, she's pregnant a little bit further in. So he's mourning, and then it also becoming a father. That's a relationship that didn't last very long. But then Ida, the daughter, does it again when he moves back to Europe. He moves to the south of France, but then he's like, I need a housekeeper, but she has to speak Russian. So then Ida goes out and finds this extraordinary woman called Vava Brodsky, who is really another powerhouse. He then spends the next 30 years with, and she becomes his second manager, so to speak. And she's a Russian sort of go-getter, sort of a Jewish heritage, but a lot more assimilated, and at the time was running a milliner's shop in London and spoke fluent French. And then Vava moves to sort of run his household and his practice for the next 30 years from the south of France.
Vava Voom.
We've got women our own, are amazing.
Yes, we've got our powerhouse in this studio, curator Jade Nicolai, and there is a brand new exhibition at the Jewish Museum of Australia, 26 Alma Road, St Kilda. It runs Tuesday to Friday, 10 to 5, Sunday sessions, 10 to 5 as well. Some evening sessions on Saturdays, I believe.
That's right. So we're starting a public programming this weekend, starting on Saturday, the Saturday late night. nights, starting from 6 to 9, so on the 10th, 17th and the 24th of June. Also starting our family day this Sunday, which will include face painting and various pop-up talks for Chagall, and also our very important inaugural Australian Art Commission, which is by the brilliant Yvette Coppersmith, Melbourne-based
wow.
artist.
I feel just quite nourished just talking to you about this. In fact,
it's wonderful, just, isn't it?
What do you think Chagall does for us as people now in this modern day? What does the art teach us? What can we learn? What can it do? You know, we've been talking about transformation through art today. People have been sharing those moments where they just meditate in front of something and it's quite wholly, you know, transformative.
I think coming together and feeling and being human and connecting to other humans, I think his art always did do that. And I think people still think about that. You talk about love and experience. I think he's, because he's a humanist and the human always stayed central to his practice, I think it's something we can all really nourish from in Melbourne, especially after our 3 years.
Lovely answer, that the human stayed central to his, you know, wonder and practice.
And
beautiful.
A certain naivety, too, about some of his work. Some of his faces were very, almost childlike. Have you stood in front of a Chagall?
Of course.
Of course. Tell us, because
we've
been
got quite a few. We've got quite a few.
There are some originals there.
We have some originals. We actually have, as I mentioned, the exhibition is in fact organised with the family estate, the Chagall estate in
Brilliant.
Paris. We have a loan from a private collection in continental Europe and various loans from Australian public collections, so SLV and the Art Gallery of New South Wales, but also unbelievable artwork. I would think one of the best Chagalls we have in Australia is on loan from the Beeson Foundation and the National Gallery of Victoria. So that is a very special piece in the show.
I love the generosity of that, where it gets to come out into different spaces and we all get to really encounter something that magical and incredible.
We've been asking people all day what their transformative moments are, and I'm wondering if we can just take MC out of it for a while. What about you, Jade? Is there a moment that you can illuminate us with?
There are many moments. I mean, this is what I do for a living. You talk. If I said to you, what's your favourite conversation, could you tell me what that was?
It's
yes,
hard.
I could. No.
Could you? The next
well,
one,
there
probably.
Are some, there are some that really stand out. But I guess the whole purpose of that is for inquiry and transformation. And yes. Conversation is too. But some do stand above because of the vulnerability or because of what's being revealed in a moment. So I don't know if it's the same sort of question.
I think it's, you know, I'm a trained art historian. I've been told how to think and look and how to yes. do research. I work as a curator. So I think it's always the next, for me, it's the next find and the next conversation. But art for me is very much about ideas and emotions and beauty. So it's as much in the moment how you feel and how you respond to work than the work itself.
What about emerging art? You would encounter that a lot. Where are we moving in this country with our art practice? Is it very diverse or is there something that you could say, look, we're really feeling X at the moment?
I think it is diverse. I mean, the community and the culture is diverse. I think it's more about finding ways to give artists the platform to really speak. I think like all great curators, I try and do my research and see things that are off the beaten track. But it's very hard. It's very hard to give opportunities. So keep looking, not just at student shows, but look at artists who are maybe coming through a different sort of system than what we're used to.
Yeah, something untrained even sometimes. We were talking about that before with Yasmin Lacey, who has learnt to sing and perform without any structure. So it brings something very different perhaps sometimes.
And I think art now is no longer about disciplines. It's not about being a photographer or a painter or even a dancer or an actor. You cross boundaries, and I think it's definitely the consequence of post-postmodernism and the reality of the world that we're in.
Are we in post-post now?
I think we don't know where we are.
Where are we? Ism.
Post-isms,
let's call it.
Yeah.
Exciting and so nourishing. Opening weekend is this weekend. I mean, to really compel you, there is free family activities, including face painting. So if that's, you know, the thing that's going to get you across the line.
That's right. Your child is face painted and then there's a Chagall on the wall. It's just wonderful. The Jewish Museum of Australia, 26 Alma Road. Thank you, Jade.
Thanks so much.
Good question. Yeah. You didn't ask how much they're worth, did you? Did you ask how much they're worth?
No, we don't ask those sort of questions.
polite
company.
I can't tell you anyway.
You can't tell us? Are they insured?
Of course.
Do you know why I wanted to know? Because I went into someone's house about 15 years ago and they had a Chagall on the wall.
Amazing.
Millions, right? Or
well,
not.
It depends how good a Chagall and is it authenticated and is it signed?
Yeah, it had a little certificate. So whoever they'd, I think they'd bought it at an auction or something.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I'm sure. But worth a lot, yeah?
Well, worth a lot, but what is
irrelevant,
value?
Right?
The question is, what is value?
Stop
to
bringing
you?
In neoliberal boring.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Okay.
It's not
frightening.
Money.
Sorry.
Yeah, we're just talking about the art, babe.
We're just being moved.
Sure. Yeah. No. Jewish Museum. Love the Jewish Museum. My aunt had a long time at the Jewish Museum. Got by Mr. Nalma Road. Better.
Yes.
Yeah, that's better.
What art has moved you is our question today. We're not talking about dollar
Shadow money. Spirit. Go and see Shadow Spirit. The collection of Indigenous art at in the old Flinders Street Ballroom and in that series of rooms, it is fantabulous.
Oh, where the Roan exhibition
fantastic.
Was.
Yeah. You must go.
Okay.
It is extraordinary. It's exquisite. It's all about the way,
shivers.
The dreaming and all of everything that First Nations artists do that is connected to what I will call their spiritual tradition. It's not in the past. It's not a myth. It's not folklore. It's not their equivalent of pixies at the bottom of the garden. It's real and present, and it lives and breathes in their art. It's engaging art. It's amazing art. And then underneath all of that, it's in the old Flinders Street building.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's ghosts, right? Like there are literally, there's ghosts. It's quite extraordinary. The layers of Melbourne, Australian, tens of thousands of years worth of history all in one spot with awesome artwork. Go.
Shadow I love the layers
rising,
of you, Ralph.
Go.
He asks about money, but underneath it all is a man.
Well, okay. Which one of you, I dare you to tell me that you walk into someone's house, you know, and they've got a Chagall on the wall, the first thing you're going to think is, how on earth did you afford
that? Not the first.
Oh, come on.
Not the first.
Well, I would ask when they got it or how they got
yes.
it. Because
how
if they got it
feel?
Four generations ago, it wasn't much.
That's true. Yeah.
It was actually probably the artist that was
you
the cheapest
need to,
that no one wanted.
Jade needs to be here more frequently.
Yeah.
I'd love to.
See how the expert demolishes
the journalist.
Yeah. I know. Jade Nicolai, curator of Chagall, congratulations on what sounds like a really beautiful interrogation and exploration into his work over that period.
Thanks Jade.